Well, this morning we're going into our teaching again to John's letters to the church. And we've been just sort of systematically going through different topics that John talked about of what he was actually bringing across or to the church. He was dealing with really false doctrine that had started in the church world, started to seep in, and really he's just going back laying foundational truths about things to bring people back into line to the truth of the Word of God. And we're going to go back into that today. Last week we looked at 1 John, the first chapter, and into the second chapter. We went specifically because we're dealing with the subject of fellowship, and we're looking at what John said about fellowship. And when we're talking about fellowship, we want to go back to statements that John had made concerning fellowship. And we found this, that John made a statement in 1 John, the first chapter, that John, we'll just read verses 6 and 7, said, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." And we want to look at what we're really dealing is walking in the light, because he said fellowship is based upon walking in the light. And so one of the things is reading Scripture and looking at Scripture. A lot of people in their thinking, and this is one of the things we want to look at as we cover some Scriptures here, and looking at things about the light. If we're supposed to, he said, our walk in the light, we're supposed to walk in the light. And in that light, we have fellowship. In other words, if a person's in sin, they're in darkness. But he's not talking about physical things here. One of the things that people have a tendency to do, and I've noticed at times that people talk about the faith message, and they talk about walking by faith. I think a lot of people have had difficulty in the areas of the faith walk, because they take too many of the Bible terminology, and they sort of bring it across from a natural, like it's talking about natural things. When people talk about life, when the Bible says about life, people think about they're talking about the physical life we live in and you know, physical stuff. Now, but we need to understand the way that we do things and operate in this realm that we live in, this natural realm, what we do through Jesus Christ, through being born again, is operating through the spirit realm to change things in this realm. So when it's talking about life, it's not talking about physical life. It's not talking about here in this natural realm. That realm, the life he's talking about, is the life of God. Or walking in the life that you have, because walking out of the flesh or walking in the natural is walking in darkness. A person walking in, and what I'm talking about, their life is guided by the natural. So he can't be talking about natural life. You know, when Jesus said made the statement concerning the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he said, "I come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly." 90% of people I've ever heard teach a subject almost teach that from a natural standpoint. Well, it's just not, it couldn't be. So, I mean, if we would look at that, if he's talking about natural standpoint, then I guess Bill Gates must be the most spiritual guy we have in the face of the earth. I mean, he must be one of the most spiritual men, wouldn't he? Because if we look from the natural, every needs met, all kinds of money, has health, he has, wow, is that it? No, it's not. And so if people don't understand that, what they do is they get over there and the focus becomes on the natural side, to trying to have a good life just through the natural side. Well, there's loads of people that have a lot of things from the natural side that's met, that's good, but they don't have life. And we're talking about having the life of God, and that's a spiritual life. That spiritual life can surely influence our natural realm. It does. It can influence it, but we do it through the Spirit. It's just like when Jesus made the statement to the disciples when he had cursed the fig tree, and they said, "Wow, look at that tree died." And he said, "Look, if you guys say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be thou cast to the sea,' and you don't doubt in your heart," see, he's dealing with the spiritual side. He's not dealing with the natural side. If you want to change something, what we're supposed to do, what pleases God, like teaching on Sunday on pleasing God by faith, what we do is we operate or we change and do things from the spiritual side. That's the side of life. You can make changes in this earth through the natural or through demonic side. You can, through darkness, change things. Well, just because you can change things, that don't make make it good. And I mean, the Antichrist is going to come along and make some things look good. And you know what? People believe it's God. Why? Because they have been taught to focus on the natural. They've been taught to focus on that side. And you and I aren't. This is the whole thing. God wants us to develop and learn how to operate in the spiritual side for this purpose. If you learn to operate on the side of the Spirit, number one, you won't end up being misled or anything like that. You don't cause things to happen in this realm that are going to be things that are going to be perverted or going to hurt you and other people. And you can count on it. It's always going to do good. It's going to bring reward to you. Number one, it's going to please God. So He wants us to operate over in that side. God wants us to operate on that side. There's health and healing for the physical body. But what God's talking about, that health and healing that He's talking about, it comes from the spiritual side. It comes from that life. And He's not talking about physical life. It comes from the spiritual life. It's just like the Holy Spirit is a spirit. He's inside of us, it tells us in Romans, to make alive our mortal bodies. So in other words, there's spiritual life in us to make our bodies well. He wants us to hook to that. It's spiritual life. And see, most people get focused on the physical side of it. It's just like He said here. There's a walk to be had. And He says, but if we walk in the light... Walking in the light will cause you and I to have fellowship, He said, with one another. We have fellowship, He said, and what? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So walking over in this light area, what He's talking about light, it can't be what men talk about, you know, with our ideas of what we have as light. Is a person walking over in the areas of light. And so walking in darkness is a practice of a lie, it says. That's not truth. The world system under the domination of Satan is a system of lie that Satan, who the Bible says is the author of lies, he's a liar, and he was from the beginning. So he's a liar, and he portrays what he makes things look like, convinces people are good, over in the area, but it's actually darkness. It's considered darkness, and you can't walk in that and have fellowship with God, because fellowship with God is over in this area of light, or we call life also. And as we go through these, you're going to find this out. There's a number of words that are talked about concerning God and the kingdom of God that are actually interchangeable. You could take the Bible says God is love. You could take the word any place in Scripture and change the word God to the word love, or vice versa, and it would not really change the Scripture. Not if you understand what the words mean and what it's talking about. It's just, and the word life and light are the same way. They're identical. Think about this. We could refer to Jesus Christ all the time as saying the Word. The Bible says He's the Word. He is the Word of God. It's not He has the Word. He is. That's what He is. So really, when you look at it, when we talk about life, when we talk about love, life, light, when we talk about these things, we talk about the Word, we're all, it's what God is. It's what God is. It's what God, you can interchange those words, and you don't change, and it don't change Scripture, because it's what God is. And so, when we're going to look at some of these things, because if these, we found out that dealing with fellowship has to do with light, and we're going to find it has to do with life, all of those things, light and life. Now, so walking in the light, one of the things we need to know this is, walking in the light is to walk in truth. When Jesus prayed, the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote a prayer in the 17th chapter, and he quoted what Jesus did in praying. And there's a lot of wonderful things you can teach from that prayer. I was like Kenneth Hagin said, that's the Lord's Prayer. Because really, that prayer was designated, really was geared toward the church, and not toward the what they call the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer that most of the church world calls the Lord's Prayer was an Old Testament prayer. You notice it wasn't prayer. The disciples were told to pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus made a prayer there, and the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God's in us now. He told them what to pray, but it's not that the things are bad or something you can't learn from it, but it's number one, in John the 17th chapter, that prayer focused towards the church. This is what John said in verse 17. Jesus wrote this down. John wrote it down with Jesus' words. He said, sanctify them by your truth. In other words, sanctify them or set them apart. They're set apart, why? By the truth. He says, your word's truth. You and I are separated. This is one of the things. Did you ever notice that a lot of times in Christianity and religion, and I know, like, you know, probably Sherry, you know a little bit more about it maybe than Josh does. With, I don't know how much you know about your grandparents and coming out, you know, the religion playing people. I lived under that. And them, sanctification was the clothing you wore and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, it's good to dress right, you know, not be, you know, worldly and addressing, you know, showing all your parts and, you know, and everything you got, and like people do today, you know, and things, there's things like that. But we found out sanctification is sanctify them by your truth. And he says, what is the truth? Your word. What separates us? What separates you and I from the world as Christians is really is our knowledge and understanding of the Word. Living the Word, walking in what the Word says, is what sanctifies us. So to walk in the light, we must walk in the Word. If we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to sanctify, because truth is God's, and understand this is truth, we're dealing with this here, truth is God's revealed will. Now, let me say this to you, because maybe some people don't, because I've heard people use some of this terminology things wrong, and maybe their idea and thinking's wrong in this. When we talk about revealed will, we can talk about a couple different, two different levels of revealed will. There is a revealed will that comes from the Word of God, just what the Word of God says. He revealed to us through the Scriptures His will in His Word. Now, there is that part of revealed will where God may direct you specifically concerning what He wants you to do. He may reveal Himself, because there are specifics. I always use a thing. I couldn't go to the Bible and find Ed's name in there that he was supposed to be in the ministry or whatever he was supposed to do. I can't find none of it there. It was never written. So God revealed His will to me and told me certain things and revealed certain things to me. Now, that, but I want you to understand, we're not talking about that revealed will yet. That is important. Now, that's part of the revealed will of God. But when I'm making this statement, truth is God's will revealed, I'm talking about walking in the light of the Word of God, what the Bible itself says, starting there. There's not much purpose in trying to find out the will of God in specific areas of your life if you don't know what the general revealed will of God is. That's why it's so important. So many people are out here trying to find out all kinds of other stuff. They should just focus on, this is one thing that I learned from Kenneth Hagin. The more I focused on the revealed will of God that He has already written down in the Word, then I came into a closer understanding in the areas of fellowship with God, and therefore, God revealed more things about His specific will to me. People make a chance of always trying to find out the specific things about stuff, when there's a lot of wonderful revelation that will help you enormously if you just look into the will of God in just what the Bible itself says. And it's number one, that's what you want to learn. Walking in God's Word, and what we're talking about, the revealed will. Look at Israel. When God told Joshua, concerning the Word of God, that Moses was given the law. And He said to him, your success is based on what was the revelation you already got. He didn't say, well, now we know this. God gave Joshua further revelation. You go read the Scriptures, there's things the Lord showed and revealed Joshua. But his success was based on the foundation which was already revealed and given. Because if you don't walk in that, it doesn't matter. I've watched people that I know that they knew they were called to the ministry. They were called. I remember one minister, and I know that he was called to be a pastor. I know he had the anointing. And you know what? He just struggled, had himself a terrible time. But you know what? He would never pay attention to a lot of things about the revealed will of God in the world. And then he's trying to live a successful life. Well, you're not going to. See, and this is the whole thing. You get grounded in the Word that's already revealed. You know, you don't have to worry too much about learning a lot of other stuff God wants you to know. It sort of just comes natural when you're walking out. Why? Because you're walking in the light. You're walking in light, so you're walking in the revealed will of God to you through the Word. And it's a natural thing. You're in fellowship with God because you're doing that. In that fellowship, He can reveal a lot of different things to you. See, most people never get over into walking in His revealed will, so they're actually in darkness because they don't know a lot of things. And so they wonder why things aren't revealed to them, or certain things in specifics. Well, I just encourage you. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I'm going to tell you what, if there's another way to do it, I don't know. I just did what he said. Because I looked at his life and I thought, my God, he's doing better than the rest of them seem to be doing that say other stuff. And I started to say, well, look, if this worked for him, I'm going to start to practice that. And I'm going to tell you what, it's worked, folks. It has worked. And that's why it is so important. Kenneth Hagin was always very big on the fact of you stay in line with the revealed will and always judge what God gives you, what you believe God is speaking to you from specific areas of His will, and measure it to the Word. See, I knew this because of what I did know of the Word. I know that He could call me to be a pastor. He could call me into the teaching ministry. He could have me stand in certain things, and I knew that He can do, because in the Scriptures it tells it He does those things. And there's different offices. Now, there's people who there's ministers out here today. There's loads of ministers around the will of God. They know that they're called, but you know, their denominations only believe in pastors and maybe in an evangelist or something. They don't believe in half the other gifts. So you know what? God can't lead them into specific areas, and so they're out of the will of God and in darkness. Yet they'll tell you, well, I'm preaching the gospel. I go do this and I do that. Yeah, but you're not in the specific will of God. There's certain areas that you don't agree with in the Bible. You don't agree with what the revealed will says, so God can't lead you into certain things. And that's why is let God teach you through the Holy Spirit, and He will, what His revealed will is in the Word. That's what sanctifies you. That's what sets you apart. That's what makes God really happy about things, is you're set apart, and you're set apart by the Word. You were set. Just think about it. You got born again. Why? By the Word of God. You believed it. That's how you became a child of God. That's what made you one of God's children. You didn't have to go through some kind of weird things or do some kind of great. No, you just followed what the Word said, believed what the Word said. And the Word performed that in you. And it's the same way. If you want to walk in what God has for you, you find out what the Bible says about it. And then you walk in that. That's what you, and then walk means this. It's your conduct or the way you make decisions in life. You know, it's like there's people today and they come along and they say, well, they don't think that, you know, whether it's adultery and fornication, homosexuality and other, that's just not sin anymore. See what they walk in darkness. But see, what they're doing, they're in the areas of darkness. They talk about fellowship with God. They can't have fellowship with God. Now, their walk or their conduct of life is not in line with the Word. Now, I'm not out here to fight them. I found it's useless to fight them with. As long as they walk in darkness, you're wasting your time fussing with them about it, because they can't see it anyhow. They have to come to the light of the truth. They have to decide whether they're going to believe the Bible's right or not. So, you and I, when we talk about walking in the light, to be in fellowship with God, just means that you're walking in line with the Word. Now, I want you to understand this. If you are walking in the line of the Word, as you know, as a Christian, now understand, nobody knows everything about what the Word says, what the revealed will. We are still learning from this thing. So don't get over in the thing of like, oh, my words, if I don't know everything. No, you're to walk in fellowship from the knowledge God gives you. First, in other words, wherever you're at in your spiritual development. If you do that, you're walking in light. If you do that, you know you're in fellowship with God. See, one of the biggest things, people are trying to get in fellowship with God. I don't have to try to get in fellowship with God. If I'm walking in light, in the light, I'm already in fellowship with God. See, walking in the light, if you're doing what you know of the Word you've been taught so far that you understand and comprehend, and you're doing it, you're in fellowship with God. That's what Paul said. I mean, that's what John wrote. We're in fellowship if we're in the light. So when you're walking in the light, see, there's a lot of misconceptions about what I do to get in fellowship with God. See, it's number one, everything is in the Bible is done by faith. You got to believe you are in fellowship before you start having the fellowship. Do you understand that? You got to believe you're in it. You know, it's just like, in the Bible, in the realm of faith, we can't see or like we, you know, there's sometimes God manifests. I've had God manifest in ways that sometimes, I mean, the power of God or the presence of God was so real and so, I mean, it's just like touchable. But that don't happen often. That's not most of the time. We're operating on the areas of complete faith. We ain't got a lick of feeling. We ain't having no visions and dreams. We're out here just walking. I am in fellowship and you are in fellowship with God specifically just because you're walking in the light. God considers you in fellowship with Him. You're in the light. You're walking in the revelation of the revealed will of God that you know. You're walking in. That's light. That's what it is. In that place, John said this takes place there. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. If you mess up, God cleanses you. Why? You're walking in the light that you have. You mess up, you confess your sin. He's faithful and just. You're walking in a place of cleansing. You are in fellowship with God. Many people are trying to do this. They're trying to have an experience that makes them believe that they're in fellowship with God. That's unbelief. If I'm walking in the light as He is in light, then we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if you're walking in the light that you have, you walk in the light of it, you are in fellowship with God. Now what you need to do is do this. Start saying you are. Believe you are, say you are. Act like you're in fellowship with God. Don't act like you're trying to get in fellowship with God. You hear a lot of people make a lot of statements in our so-called Christian vernacular today. There's a lot of, you know, Christians have a language, don't we? We have terminologies. And there's nothing wrong with that because we do talk of terminologies that are in the Bible. But many people use terminologies that don't know what they don't know what it means. They use words because they're just sort of used in certain contexts of things, and people don't exactly know what they mean. I've found this. I've done this already with people. People in the, just naturally will use a term, and I will find out what that word means, and I find out, you know, it's everybody uses that word wrong. It don't mean what it says. And they'll use the word, and I'll say, they'll use it in a certain context, and I'll say, do you know what that word means that you're using? Inevitably, I've hardly ever found a person who knows. But we just sort of throw it out there. So we think we've just made a communication on a level about something. And people think we're talking about the same things. I learned this from Raymond Structer is one of our excellent teacher. In fact, he taught how to teach. That's what his was. His name was Cooper Beatty. This past year, he went home to be with Jesus. He was in his late 90s. And I'm going to tell you what, a guy so alive. I'm going to tell you what, he's a wonderful gentleman. I mean, he was old when I was in school. He just lived beyond that. But I mean, I tell you, I loved his classes. But he used to tell us this. He said, when you teach, define your terms. That's why I give definitions of the words I'm talking about. Because you wouldn't believe. You might sit and think, I know what that word meant. Why is he doing that? You would be shocked to find out how many people sitting there have no clue. They thought they knew what it meant. But when you tell them what it meant, it's like, oh, I didn't know that. There's loads of terminology. That's why he said define your terms so people know. When you use that term, they know what you're saying. And it's just like today, we have so much miscommunication today, so much messed up because we've twisted terms and terminologies around from one generation to the other generation. They turn around and change what a word means. They use it as one way, but they say it to another. They wonder why somebody don't understand what they're talking about because of their lack of intelligence. They never define their terms and talk. They just talk their slang and their stuff. And in fact, I was just reading an article I thought was really good. I got a professor in college is trying to teach students, and some of them are, you know, I mean, people in college who are not first-year students. These are people that have been in college maybe three or four, in their fourth year, and maybe even in graduate school, trying to teach them how to communicate with people because they use terms and things like that. He said, when you're communicating with your professors, you be distinct in your terms because you're asking questions and you want to know answers to them. He said, if you talk all your junk talk, he said, we ain't got no clue what you're talking about and what you could mean and what you're saying. So he said, you may not be getting answers that you think you're getting. He said, you got to learn how to communicate. He said, you don't communicate with your professors like you talk to your junk, to your everybody else, you know, your friends around you. And you know what I found out? That's why Christians are having a hard time in prayer lives. They don't get answers because they talk to God in junk. I learned, I did what Kenneth Hagin said, talk to God according to His Word. It's amazing how you get answers. Communicate with God according to what He says. Find out His language. You know, don't be talking to God in language He ain't got a clue what you're talking about. Because what happens is you use terminologies and words that don't mean what many times, and people can't figure out what's happening. That's why in communication to anybody that we do, that's why we do that. Because, you know, if I know in a church, you have people that are on different levels, even of learning, you know, that they're at. And you have to define certain things, or you can use terms, they ain't got a clue what it means. They don't know. And so you have to tell them what things mean. But we're sanctified by the Word of God. And that's why, look at the Word of God, and if you're walking in this Word of God, God considers you in light. See, loads of people, I don't believe in Christianity, understand what it means to walk in the light. Number one is walk in the light. They think it's some kind of like, woo, I'm spiritual, I don't know what's going on around me, and I'm over in this place of the Spirit in a, you know, a trance someplace. And that's walking in the light. Whoa! No, that's not it. Walking in the light is just simply this. Your life, your conduct of life, what you're following and doing and believing in life is founded upon what the Word of God says. And that's the life you're living. That's walking in the light. That's what walking in line with the Word says. So, I mean, you're out here and just making decisions and what just in the natural, when you're walking around, people are doing things over here. Maybe they're lying and cheating and stealing and you don't join in with it. No, I can't do that. Somebody comes along to you, well, we could do this, you know, we can make some money, and well, we just, you know, you say, no, I can't do that kind of stuff. That's walking in the light. You're walking in line of what the Word of God says. You're in fellowship with God. That's fellowshipping with God. This is why. People don't get it. They think something, I know I've had people at times that they thought, you know, I'm a hard guy. Why? They'll say that, you know, I'm not in fellowship. I don't walk in fellowship with other people. If people are walking in darkness, I can't walk there with them. And no, I can't. We can't be in fellowship. They think that you're being ugly because you can't fellowship. I can't fellowship with darkness. They're going to walk in darkness. I ain't going there. And they want me to hang out with them. Oh, well, if you really love them, you really love people. Well, they don't like it anyhow because I tell them what they're doing is wrong. They don't like that anyhow. So let's get real. But why? I got to walk in the light. When I'm walking in the light and when you're walking in the light, you're doing what's right. You're in fellowship with God. That's what God wants. It's not some kind of spooky, weird thing to try to figure out how to do. It's actually easy. If we look at the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John dealing with the Word in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 14, and the Word tells us this concerning Jesus, and it says, the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the living Word of God. And now think about this, what Jesus said. How did Jesus walk in fellowship with the Father? Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father do, and I don't say anything the Father don't say. So Jesus' walk was what? In line with what God said. What God did. That's what. So he walked in the light of what the Word of God was. He was the Word of God, but he walked in light of that Word. So what? He was always in fellowship with God. Think about that. He was always in fellowship with God. Not because he wasn't doing something just spooky or weird. Most people thought he just like everybody else around here, except he just has a different belief, you know. So, but all, his fellowship with God is because he walked in the light of the Word. That's what he was. See, how else could Jesus have ever said to you and I that we'd do the works that he did if it required us to be some kind of weird, you know? So, no, he said in this. In other words, the disciples, he said, he told the disciples, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and shall be done unto you. See, you're in the light. The Word of God's living in you. So what are you're doing what the Word says. So whatever you ask, when you pray, whatever you ask, you know, you're going to receive that your joy may be full. See, it's just walking in the light. See, this is how you have the confidence to go before God in prayer. See, people are trying to reach what they believe is some kind of spiritual, you know, epitome of something or other. I don't know if they're waiting for a feeling or they're waiting to have a certain type of experience. I'm not sure what people think, but you know, people can have a lot of different thoughts about that in their mind and what they think of what it is to rise to a spiritual place. God considers any man or woman spiritual who walks not in the flesh, but walks in the Spirit. Walks in the Spirit how? In line with what the Word says. That's walking in the Spirit. That's what it is. That's sanctification. You know, that's set apart. You're set apart. You're walking. You're set apart. You're walking. It is different. This, if we even look back at in the letter to the church, 2 John. In 2 John, in the first chapter, listen what John said. John wrote these words in a letter that he wrote to a church. Listen what he says in verse 4. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in the truth, as we receive commandment from the Father. Now you see, what is this? What's he rejoicing? He said, I found that some of your children, you need to understand, it is no different today. Some Christians walk in the truth and some don't. Now we found out, what is the truth? The truth is the Word. They're walking in line with the Word. John said, if you're walking in line with the Word, what you're walking in the light. And then you have fellowship with one another. The fellowship, in other words, you're in fellowship with God. He told this, he wrote this letter and said, look, I'm glad I came here and said, I rejoice. I found some of your children. In other words, the letter was written to the pastor of the church. In fact, he was excited about the fact that he found some of the children, your children. In other words, he called the members or the ones, people that were under him as a minister, he called them your children, walking in the truth. He was excited about that. Why? Because they're in fellowship with God. If they're walking in line with the truth, they haven't received this junk from the world, that this other teaching about who Jesus is and what Jesus is. He was excited about that. He, verse 5, and he says, now I plead with you, lady, and in fact, this was a woman who was a pastor of a church. Think about that. Tell you, you know how they tell you can't? That's why you found this out. The people who don't believe women can be ministers don't ever read. They don't ever teach on from 2 John. They'll definitely skip these scriptures. Women can be pastors. Why? Because in the Spirit there's neither male nor female. The gift to stand in the office of pastor is not male nor female gift. It's not. It's not a male nor female. In the Spirit, they're spiritual gifts. They're not physical gifts. And so he says, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which you have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So there was the commandment of love. We love one another. In other words, he found that these people are walking in love, but they're walking in light of the Word of God. They're there. He said, I'm really glad to find this out. These people are walking in line with the Word of God. So they're walking in love. He said, we were commanded to do that. He's happy. Why? They're in line with the Word. They're in the light as he is in the light. They have fellowship with one another. They have fellowship with Jesus Christ. He's glad to find that out. Look at 3 John, the first chapter, and see what he said here. In 3 John, in the first chapter, he made this statement. In verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John found no greater joy than to find that, he said, my children, in other words, these were the ones that raised up under his ministry and things, they're walking in truth. When he finds somebody he ministered to and they're walking in the light of the truth of the Word of God, he said there's no greater joy to be had. I know as a pastoral staff, it is always great when you have people walk in line with the Word of God. I mean, if nobody walks in line with the Word of God, you start to wonder, man, what is going on? There's a lot of things that upset pastors and get them all upset about a lot of things, and most of them are worthless things for them to get upset over. This is the biggie. You know, people are going to make mistakes and going to do stuff and things like, but you want people to walk in line of the Word of God. That's what you want. People may make mistakes going along, and they will. They'll make mistakes and things because everybody's growing up. Everybody, you know, we don't all know everything. So we're going to have that. I'm not talking about, you know, people just, you know, intentionally go sin. I'm talking about people, you know, we blow it. Sometimes people sin and it's out of ignorance. They had no clue they were doing wrong. They thought from what they knew, they were doing as best they understood, and they blew it. And We're in that category sometimes. Sometimes we didn't know we did something the Bible calls a sin, but we didn't even know it was sin. We didn't know. We didn't know it was wrong to do because we hadn't come to that point of revelation from God. But he said the greatest thing he found that was that they walked in the truth of the Word of God. So my children walk in the truth. So understand that. You're in fellowship with God when you're walking in the truth. That's why if we get out of line with the truth and we know it, we have the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. We confess our sin. When I come to the light of something I'm doing wrong, and I come to that light and I confess that sin, then He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're walking in the light. So understand that. That's fellowship with God. You are in fellowship. When you're in a place of fellowship with God, you can ask God anything according to His will. Is John wrote this in 1 John 5th chapter. We can ask anything according to His will. He said, you know that He hears you. And if He knows He hears you, then you know you have. He didn't say you didn't know that sometime you'll get it. He said, you know you have the petition you requested of Him. And see, if you follow what John said, see, a lot of people think of what John said is hard. It wasn't hard at all. In fact, it's pretty easy. But we just have so much misconception about teaching on stuff and the ideas of things. So we want to walking in the light. Your walk in the light is walking in line, or walking in truth is walking in the light or the life. So, and we also want to talk about walking in the light really is walking in life. See, if somebody said to you, he wants you to walk in life or light or the Word, really, they're synonymous terms with each other. You can't separate these terms from each other. They're right in line with what each other is saying, because you couldn't be walking in light in the line with the Word and be in darkness, nor be not being light in life. So when you're following in line with the Word of God, you're walking in the truth, which is light. So in other words, when you're in truth, when you're walking in the truth, you're walking in light. That's how you walk in the light. That's how you do it. Just that. And it's the same way as you walk in the life, to walk in the life. In the Gospel of John, John wrote in John 14:6 what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now Jesus said, look, I'm the way. So in other words, Jesus is the way. It's not, he has a way. Well, you could think about it. You know, a lot of people look at Jesus and they look at Jesus like Jesus being the Word of God. You know, your fellowship with the Word of God. See, many people are trying to have fellowship with Jesus. Well, you have fellowship with Jesus if you're fellowshipping with the Word. How could I be in line with the Word of God and not in fellowship with Jesus? That'd be an impossibility. He is the Word. So to me, to be in fellowship with Jesus, I'm just doing what the Word says. Jesus is the way. So in other words, this one we fellowship, He is the way. That is a given. That's what He is. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I have a way. I am the way. He said, what? The truth. In other words, I am the truth. So he am the truth. You wonder what the truth is? He am. He said, I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we put it in actual, with saying it, that I am is in front of each one of those words, isn't it? That's what it would be in a statement. So Jesus says, He is the life. If He's the Word, then we know this. The Word is life. The Word is life. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Why? If there is another way to get to God, this statement is a total lie. Jesus cannot be any of these things because He is darkness. He just told a lie. Then He could not be the way. It was impossible for Him to be the truth, and it's impossible for Him to have the life of God to give to you. He couldn't do that. It's impossible. If the next statement is incorrect, it's a lie, then Jesus is none of the above. He can't be. Why? Because He's in darkness. Well, we know that He's not in darkness. But see, that's why if people must judge words and throw things out. I've watched Christians go along. I've read a study that, I'm trying to think of the name of the, there's a, there's a minister who does surveys and studies. He's written a number of books on Christianity and what Christians believe. And he went through, and back about a year or so ago, I read out a study that he did from what people who say they're born again. Now, not just people who say they're Christian. People who believed you had to be born again to be a child of God. And he went through and found out how many of them believe that you could. There's other ways to get to heaven, and you'd be astonished. They found that it was almost pretty close to 50% of black churches believe you can get to church, to heaven. People say they get born again. It was less percentage, but still, it was like 30-some percent of people who believe you have to be said they believe you had to be born again said you can get said people could get to heaven other ways. So we know this. They don't believe this. See, they're walking in darkness. And they don't realize this. You can't believe that and have that not taint about everything you go and look through in the Word. There's certain foundational beliefs that you cannot put aside without tainting everything you believe. It'll taint it. And this is one of them here. That's a definite. It's a given. Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So to walk, we would say that. So we're walking in light. Walking in light is this, is we walking in line with the way, walking in line with the truth, walking in line with life. In other words, you have life. If you're walking, and get yourself over in this area, we're talking about spiritual life. You know this. We read before going through 1 John, where John wrote down, and he made statements about people, you know, that if... you know, and statements that, that he made concerning a person who... didn't have it. He said about a person who hated his brother, he has no eternal life in him. See, the love of God shed abroad your heart by the Holy Spirit. You can't have hatred and be in light. You can't hate in your heart your brother. You can't hate them. Why? That's darkness. That's walking in darkness. And see, this is why it's a simple thing about walking in light of the Word of God. Now, many people say they get mad and say they hate somebody, and Christians do it. And what they're doing, they're talking out of their heads. They ain't talking out of their hearts. If you ever got in contact with their heart, they wouldn't talk so dumb. They might say, well, you know, I'm mad at them, but... But there's one thing, as we know this, is from what John said. A Christian can get that in because he made the statement. He's talking to brothers. If you don't want to let hatred get into your heart. It's one thing to get in your head. Keep it out of your heart. The best way is to keep it out of your heart. Don't say it. I tell you, you might have a thought you hate that individual. Don't keep saying that stuff. Why? That's what opens the door to get it into your spirit. Faith comes by hearing. That opens the door. Don't talk that stuff. Just because those thoughts come to you and you think about thought, I'd sure like to choke them. Or I want let's do something. Don't start talking that stuff. Don't start saying, I just want to do that. Because those kinds of things start to get into your heart. And that's how you keep them out of your heart. Stay in the light. You keep your inner man in the light. It's like Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him. He said, you can be right in your heart and wrong in your head. And he's right. You know what? You don't want to stay wrong in your head all the time. But don't let the wrong in your head get in your heart, because your life and light and truth depend upon your inner man staying on the right track. Don't get your inner man on the wrong track. Don't let him get, don't feed things to him that would lead him to start to walk in darkness. Where in the inside, he's believing wrong. He's thinking wrong. We don't want to do that. Our real inner man, the real us, so we want to keep that, protect ourselves. That's why Jesus said, you know, be careful what you hear. And one, be careful what you hear, what you say. Do that. But so we're talking this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we could say Jesus, he is God. So God is life. And we read down through John. See, you're born again, and you have the life of God in you. That's what you are. You have the life of God. And when we talk about life, it's not talking about physical existence. Because really, physical existence has no power to change much. It doesn't have power. My physical life that I have, but I tell you what, my eternal life is an incredible power, the eternal life. And that's why you want to get over thinking in line with what's right and what's true. In other words, when you're walking in line with the Word, you're in a position, just think about this, you're in a position walking in the light of the Word to ask God anything and He'll do it for you. Jesus said, if you ask anything, the Father, anything in my name, He'll give it to you. See, this is why people come along and say, I don't believe you can just ask anything. Well, can you ask this? When they say that, one thing is I know, they're a carnal Christian. I don't care, he's been a minister for 47 years. He's a carnal Christian. He's thinking, I'm talking natural. He's thinking about natural life. He's thinking about anybody out of my inner man is spirit. Anybody that's spiritual ain't going to be asking God, you know, God, I want, you know, give me 50 virgins or something, you know, something stupid. You know. What on earth would I... The life to come, is that the reward? I mean... Good grief! All of this for that? For sex? I mean, if that was eternity, going to be having fun, what's God going to keep? What are we doing? I guess we got no fun in turning. What happens when you run out of virgins? What do you do? Sit around heaven, boy. Nothing to do up here. La-da-da. You know, the stupid. I'm not talking about that. Christians are as naive about it because they look at it from the natural perspective. We're talking about having the life of God. There's no way that a person comes into the knowledge that they have the life of God, that they can, that they're going to, I mean, it revolutionizes the way you think. That's why having the mind of Christ is having the life of God. A person who understands what it is to have God's life will put on God's mind. They'll put on a spiritual mind. They won't put on a physical, just thinking how here in the natural and that kind of stuff. And that's what, see, if you and I can view the realm of the Spirit, and we can understand, looking through life, when we look at what goes on around us, man, that drives away fear or anxieties or worries about things. Because I tell you what, we'll look at anything going on around us that can change. We'll look around us and what the devil might seem to be doing. We'll look at that devil. He ain't no far further in this thing. You know, years ago when I had a heart attack, if I would have acted upon the force of the physical life, they would have picked me up along the road dead. I didn't act out of that. I acted out of the Word of God. You know, I told Satan, you know, was talking big time to me. The devil was talking. There was a spirit speaking to me, saying things. you're going to die. What are the people in church going to think? Find you dead along the road. You, oh, man, the pastor died out of here. So those words were going on. And I told him, I said, you have nothing to do with this. I'm dealing with them in the area of the Spirit. I'm not dealing with the outside. If I try to deal with the outside, they will find me dead along the road. You know, I have to stay on the area of the Spirit. So what I did, I walked in the light. Walked in the light of what the Word says. I started doing in line with what the Word says. See, some people think, well, how do you have this great boldness or something? Well, it's like anything. If you know what the truth is, you know, once you found out what the truth is, makes you pretty bold about doing something. I mean, just think from the natural what it does to you when you say you're dealing with a problem and all of a sudden you find out how to fix it. You become a different person, don't you? You're not there sitting around anymore, well, I wonder what I need to do about this. And when you know exactly what to do about it, you just go right to work to change that, whatever it is you got to do. You know, from anything to fixing something, I mean from the natural, fixing something. Once you know what needs to be done, you can just go ahead and do it. The whole thing changes. And that's the one thing is if you understand this, if you walk over in the area of the Word of God, you'll get a view of things from a light standpoint. How to fix things won't be in darkness. See, when you don't know what to do about a problem, it's dark, isn't it? You're in Wonderland. You're wondering what to do. You're trying to think of things. When you get over the area of light, once the light comes, you're just like, I know what to do about it. Why? Think about it. When you know how to solve a problem, do you worry? Not worry ends. It stops. I ain't worried. I can fix this thing. I know what to do to fix it. Worry ends. See, people are worried or what? Are in darkness. They're not in line with the Word. See, I may not know quite the answer of what to do about it, but I know how to get it. I know how to get the answer. I know how to keep from worrying because I know how to step over into things of the Word that will keep me from worrying because I know what the Bible says about it. I know God will give me wisdom if I ask for it. I know that. He gives it liberally. I might have done something stupid, caused me a problem. You know what? He said He gives it without reproach. That word reproach, King James uses reproach, but actually what the word means is somebody that, what it's saying is he'll give it to you in spite as if you did something stupid. In other words, it's the idea that he is not going to hold against you a wrongdoing. Maybe you made the mistake and caused the problem. He'll still help you get out of it in spite of. See, that's walking in the light. See, most people, they get in trouble. Well, God, I remember my dad said this to me one time. He talked about being, because he was a drunk when he was a younger man. He got saved, and he talked about certain things in his body, and he made the statement about to me one time about, you know, certain things that he had problems concerning health-wise. Nothing major, but still, he said, well, I did my body in when I was a sinner. I said, you think God won't fix it for you? I said, you need to understand something. He said, he gave you wisdom without reproach. I said, you need wisdom, because you're sitting around talking, saying something that ain't true. God's not holding that against you. You were a sinner. You were stupid, like we all are. If God holds you as a sinner against you, then there's no way you can get fixed. If he held it against us, he never saved none of us. So get over in the area. See, God's always leading us to light. He's always leading us over in the area. Why? Get in the light in your thinking. Get over. That's why you don't want to keep your natural mind over in those areas. Let what's inside of you get into your mind and the way that you think, and you'll turn around and walk in this life. And this life is the life of God, and you have it. Think about it. You have this life. You're not trying to get this life. It's not something that you're after to get. It's something that you have. This is what I thought we saw was wonderful in the teachings at Kenneth Hagin that I learned from him, because I found out that it's just like today. There's not a lot of basic teaching going on anymore. They're not teaching these things. They're not telling Christians who they really are. You know, we are children of light. We are children of life. When you got born again, you received the life of God. It is not something you're trying to get. You're not trying to get the life of God. And that's why it's walking in line with the Word. If you understand what the Word is, you'll start to walk and live. You'll make decisions in life like you have the life of God, not like you're trying to get it. See, I never try to get healing. I have it. Why? I have the life of God. See, there's a total different thinking. See, most people are trying to get healed. So what they do there, I'm going to believe God to heal me. No, I'm healed. Himself took my infirmities. I'm not trying to get... Do you try to get saved? How many of you tried to get saved? Did you ever truly try that? Worked great, didn't it? Hey, we used to do that when I was a kid. People would go to the altars in churches, and they would stay there, the altar, at every meeting they had, they'd back down at the altar praying, trying to get through to get saved. Well, you didn't have to do none of that. And see, get that into yourself. The life of God was given to you. Jesus is the way. Just think about it. Christians say, Jesus lives in me. Do you have life? Well, you know, they'll him all around with you. No. This is what he am. He am the way. He am the truth. He am the light. That's what I am. That's what you are. Because that's what he am. You don't have different than he is. You don't have it. You am what he is. And get yourself all that. That's why with healing. When I learned over time of listening to Kenneth Hagin, what I wanted to learn was divine health. You can operate on a lower level and you can get healed, but you're going to end up, you'll always do this. You'll get sick, try to get healing, get sick, get after healing, get sick. And I wanted to find out how divine health worked. And I started to realize how it worked. It's what you believe and what you walk in. You start believing, I have the life. I'm not trying to get the life. I have it. You know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. He's quickening my mortal body. That's what he does. He's in there. See, that's a belief. I believe he's in there working right now in my body, working health. That's what he does. That's part of his job in me. It's part of his job in you. See, when people are trying to get healing on the from out there somewhere, it's inside of you. It's in your inner man. It's what your inner man is. Your inner man cooperates with the Holy Spirit to bring life to your body all the time. Not just when something knocks on your door. When you're feeling great, he's still in there working life in you. That's what he's doing. He ain't waiting until you get sick and now here's some castor oil. Take this and we'll... That's not what he's doing. But see, people get that idea. They get into that way of thinking because why? They're taught healing from the natural perspective, and they look at it just like a doctor would. They went to the doctor. I'm sick. I'm trying to get something outside here to get in here in my body to make it better. Not knowing the whole time that inside of them, they have something medicine, and really is. We could say spiritually, it's like medicine. It's medicine working in you. It's already there. Why don't it get released? It's because of where they're walking. They walk like that's not true. They walk. Their walk in life is like they have to get that to get it inside of them. That's what they're doing. So see, their walk's not right. So they're walking in what? Darkness. They don't see the truth of themselves. That's why it's coming into this wonderful light of God, walking in that light. John, in 1 John, the first chapter, we saw there in the second verse, when John made this statement, he said, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you, we declare to you what? That eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. In other words, it's Jesus Christ, he was the life, he's manifested to us. In other words, here he calls, here the term is used, that eternal life. That's what it is. You are not going to ever get eternal life. You can only do that when you got born again. When you got born again, you got eternal life. You had eternal death. That's what we all had. As a sinner, you have eternal death working in you. You know, I was listening not long ago to a song. There's a song that they were singing and that stuff. And, you know, and I know the person's trying to do right. But one of the things that they said, they were talking about thanking God for what he gave them in the song. And they thank them that they can live forever. And they don't realize, they think that eternal life means living forever. See, they're thinking about, they're physical. That's every spirit being is eternal. But God only considers eternal life in one type of being, and that's the ones who are born of God. The other ones are eternal death. So people either have eternal life or eternal death. It says, I can live forever. Because that term gets used all the time, but most Christians don't know what they're saying when they say it. They think eternal life is me going to heaven, and I got to go to heaven, I'm going to live forever. Well, what happens to the people that are, they're not going to live forever, they go to hell? Do you know because of that teaching, that's where the Jehovah's Witnesses get their teaching? They don't believe hell's an eternal place. And most Christians say they believe hell's eternal, but by what they preach and say, they don't. Because they don't believe those people are going to live forever. They think that living forever is a physical thing. It's not. Your human body can't live forever unless it gets it becomes spiritual. And that's what the new body we get. So it's in line with God. That's why that body's going to live, because it's going to be a total change. And we need to get over and get our thought life over into the right area. Jesus Christ is eternal life. When you receive Christ, you receive God's eternal life. In other words, one of the best terms that I think to use in this circumstance is if we would talk about the fact we actually have God's nature or what God is. Our spirit is like God is. See, when God created Adam, he said, I'm going to make man in my image and likeness or like me. See, you use that word likeness and people say, you know, you can use that word likeness with the idea, yeah, I sort of look like God, but I'm not really. Our inner man is made like God is. And it can't be from the Bible saying that God, speaking of God, that, you know, we were made like God is the fact that, you know, we are a form like God, or we are just a spiritual being. Adam was a spiritual being after he sinned. He was still a spiritual being, but he was separated from God. He didn't have the fellowship. The only way God could fellowship with him again, but God couldn't fellowship with him anymore like he did. God didn't come down to cool the day anymore. God didn't come down. God had a fellowship with him at a distance. Why? Because God's holy. He was no more. And God, through blood sacrifices, fellowship with men at a distance. You know, if we think about it, I mean, in the old temple, God fellowship with men at a distance. He's in that temple behind that curtain. You went behind the curtain, you're dead. They're going to fry your body. Your body couldn't do that. I mean, you and I get born again now, our spirits become like God. We're made in the likeness of God from the standpoint we have his very nature. Your nature is light and life. That's your nature. Start to see yourself from that standpoint. That's my nature. My nature is not darkness nor sin. And, you know, I learned these things. I didn't figure this stuff out myself. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. And I listened to his teaching. I listened to his teaching, and he would just go to the Word. And he'd use scriptures like these, and he'd talk about these scriptures. And I would just keep going back to them and back to them and look at them. Go back and listen to the teachings over and over again until I come to the place to start to know who I really was. And I found this out. You will never change until you find out who you are. You know, if a person believes that they're just a sinner, they're just going to keep sinning. Then you're going to live out what you think you are. That's what you're going to live. I don't care if you're born again or not born again. It doesn't matter between the two. Whatever you believe you are is what you're going to live out and walk. That's why people must be changed in the thinking of who they are. That's why many Christians never grow up, because they never find out who they are. They think they're just like everybody else. In doing that, they walk in that. That's what they walk in, that knowledge. And that's darkness. They don't see themselves. People say, well, yeah, I have eternal life. You start talking about them, they say, oh, God lives in me. And you really get into discussions like Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Paul had talked to them and taught them before, but he comes along and he says, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? He's talking to Christians. Well, hold it, guys. You ain't got this stuff yet. You don't really know who you are. And that's why the church was living carnal, because they didn't know who they were. See, what we try to do is, you know, and you'll get over where you'll get judgmental yourself, and you get yourself in more condemnation than you do into faith. Over, because you view yourself in your lack of abilities and your lack, you view yourself in the light of where you blew it, your mistakes. And you view yourself. You know, when Paul made the statement and said, I'm judged by no man. Whoa, who would dare to say such a thing like that? They'll call you a heretic if you made the statement. Why? You know what? Because of unspiritual people who don't understand what God has made them to be. They'll sit around and talk about, oh yeah, God lives in me, but I'm an old sinner. Yes, I know, I'm saved. I was forgiven. Oh yes, I was forgiven. He forgave me. And they're all just living that low life stuff. As you find out who you are, looking at these things of light and life, this is how you walk in truth. This is how you walk in fellowship with God. When you admit to God who he said you really are, you're walking in fellowship with him. When you say, yeah, I have eternal life, that's what I got. I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. That's who I am. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, it might not seem to me that down here, it doesn't matter, Lord. I'm not moved by what I see. The Bible says these things. See, when we talk and we say what the Bible says about us, that's walking in the light. When you go out here and live, like, you know, so many Christians, they live just like they're part of the world. And you need to understand the reason they do it is because they don't know who they are. They think that's just the way they are. That most of whatever they try to do in life. That's why, you know, and I learned this back years ago when I was a young Christian. I realized that most people I was around didn't have no clue what faith was. Because when they saw you walk in faith, they thought that was evil. They thought you needed to change. Why? Now, it wasn't because they were bad people, but they had no clue who they were. They didn't know what the Bible really said. They had listened to religion for so long and known people on things and that stuff. They say, really, they thought they were being humble before God. But they didn't realize what they were doing was walking in darkness. And God was able to do things to them. God wasn't able to do things. The devil deceived them into other stuff. The devil messed their lives up in areas, things they couldn't get over or deal with, stuff. And they couldn't. Why? They're out there walking in darkness. You know, God, you know, thank God he tries to help us as much as he can. But he's limited by what we believe and how we walk. I can't walk in darkness and have the blessing. And so understand that. As we're looking through these, we're going to do some other teaching. Some others, we'll cover some things in this, dealing with this area. But I want you to get across to you the fact of walking in the light, what it is. It's not like people have made it. It's not walking in some weird woo-woo stuff. When you're walking in line with what the Word says and you're believing, believe what the Word says about you and what it says. You might not look like it says, it seems naturally, it's correct about you, but you'll never change till you believe it's true. Well, the biggest thing it believes in change, if you believe you're just worthless and no good, you're going to live worthless and no good. I've watched people who, you know, in depression, and they'll talk about different things, and you know, people make statements, oh, the chemical imbalances. No, it isn't. They depress themselves. Most of their people, they isn't. They ain't dealing with a brain problem. They're dealing with a mouth problem and a thought problem. They're dealing with their view of themselves. They're dealing with the situations in life. Look, we're out here. There is a lot of natural reasons to be depressed. The world system, what's going on? The thing that makes this mark on me, I'm as happy as I ever was. I'm having, you know, but I know why. It can't be because the problems, things haven't gotten better many times, naturally. I mean, what I look down and read what Paul said, what men are going to become like in the end times, I think, my God, we're living in it and it's getting more and more like it. It's like, wow. Well, you could go over the areas to live in depression. You could go over and think on those thoughts. There's many Christians today doing that. They're thinking on the thoughts of those things. No, think about who you are. Think about God's response He said He would give you. That if you would ask anything according to His will, you'd know this, that He hears you. And if you know that He hears you, then you know you have the petition you requested Him. I mean, get your thoughts on those things. See yourself. I'm walking in line with the Word of God. Even in prayer, many Christians don't approach to prayer. They're begging God. That's walking in darkness. You and I should never go before God begging Him anything. You don't have to. You're a child of light. So I've watched people get into darkness in their prayer life. They're praying in darkness. Wondering why things don't work. They're praying like God don't hear them. They're praying like God's, what's going on? They're praying like, oh my, it seems like the heavens are shut up. Aye, shut the heavens up, go ahead. God's in me. I can talk to Him. You know, that's like, well, if the neighbor closes the door, my wife can't hear me. Come on, people. You know, we got to get over and think right about this stuff. We got to get in ourselves and think right. And that's what I'm just encouraging you to do. And anybody that listens to this, encouraging people to get over into these areas. There's so many things out here that people really today, there's too much focus on getting natural stuff. I want you to know this. Natural stuff is the easiest thing to get if you'll get spiritual. And getting spiritual ain't weird. Getting spiritual is just walking in the line of the Word of God. If you'll start living like the Word's right, after a while, you stuff will come to you. Why? Because you're walking in light. There's loads of time things come to me that I never asked for. I never prayed 2 minutes for. But you're walking in light. It's just like Braden. Braden loves good and he does things right. I love to buy him. So I love to do things for him. Now, he ain't doing right. But you know what? Your Father, God, is identical. There's loads of things that will come to you just because you walk in the light. But see, you can't be out here thinking you walking in the light is something else. Get over in the thing. You know, God likes you. No matter what anybody else said in the subject. I done read the book. He likes me. In spite of me sometimes, you know. But you know, you get over in the light and there's so much that God will do for you. Just so much that He'll do for you. Because you're just walking in the light. And you get over there. Be bold in your prayer life. You're walking in the light. Lord, I'm coming to You according to what Your Word says. You told me that if I come and ask You something according to Your Word, I know this fact. You're hearing me right now, and I know that belongs to me. God, I want to thank You. I thank You because You've said yes already to my request. You said, why? Because I'm walking in light. I'm praying to Him in the light. I'm not praying in darkness. I'm praying in the light. And you're going to find out. I'll tell you, it's going to work for you great. Hallelujah. Change and revolutionize your life. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank You this morning because of looking at the Word, how wonderful the Word is, how glorious it is. And Father, I thank You for shining light on us today, giving understanding by the Holy Spirit. Father God, Father, we want to thank You. Our perfect desire is to walk in fellowship with You, Father, and with Your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's our perfect desire. And Father God, I want to thank You. You didn't make it some hard, strange thing. I want to thank You, Father God. You laid out a plan that anyone can walk in it. and can do it. And thank you, Father God. Father, we're not trying to walk in it alone. We have the help of the Holy Spirit, the strength of God in us. And Father God, I want to thank you, as the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, that you're strengthening us with might by your Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ dwells in our heart by faith and we're rooted and grounded in love, being able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height, the length, and the depth, and the breadth of the love of God, which surpasses all knowledge, that we're being filled with filled with the knowledge of you. And we want to thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.